Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Good morning, listeners, and welcome to Coffee at KYUK. Today, my guest is Shane Iverson. You might know Shane as the general manager of KYUK. I know him as my boss. Shane's been undertaking a project to install radio transmitters in villages in the hopes that KYUK's signal can spread farther and wider. Thanks for coming in today, Shane.
Thank you, Olivia. It's still funny I'm anyone's boss, really.
If it sounds like we're both in the studio, it's because we are. We're separated by a thick wall of glass and foam. Shane, so for those of us, including myself, who might not be, you know, my job is in radio, but I'm not always so technically minded about it, what are low-power FM transmitters?
Yeah, sure. You know, we're transmitting right here. Most people are listening on radio frequency 640 AM in much of the Delta. And that's the frequency we transmit at, and it's a signal that's able to reach a pretty decent-sized area. But, of course, if we could increase our transmission here, we'd be able to reach the whole Delta with this signal, with this single signal, but that's very costly, and we're not able to do that. So we've been looking for ways for years to reach outlying villages where people can't listen to KYUK, or many of these villages, no one has any access to any over-the-air radio. All media would need to be paid for, and that's obviously a difficult situation. So these transmitters allow us to basically have little mini KYUKs set up all over the YK Delta, and by low power, it means they're not transmitting with much power, and so the frequency, or I should say the range of the signal, is going to be much, much less than like a 640 AM. We're transmitting at 93.3 FM, and where KYUK, we're... Our station proper is at 10,000 watts, and these low-power FMs are going to be more in the range of like 200 watts. So the signal will just reach the village. It won't hit, in some cases, like for Kong, for example, we heard it's reaching all the way in Quigg. So good morning in Kong-Giganook and Quigilinook. I'm glad you guys can listen to us today. But yeah, the idea is basically small stations with a small area, but it should be able to serve everyone in the village. Yeah.
That's awesome. So which villages got them?
Yeah, we put out a call to every village that we thought could use it. And as most people are aware, COVID money, CARES money, for the purpose of combating COVID and mitigating the pandemic, had to be spent out by the end of the year. So this was a really, really rushed job. But we were able to find really good partners in on the Yukon. We went with the school sites up there, so that would be the villages of Alakanuk, Imanuk, Nunamikwa, and Russian Mission. And then on the Kuskokwim coast, Good News Bay has been a community. It straddles the Bristol Bay area and the Bethel area, and you know, even in areas where KYUK doesn't reach well, if you have a really powerful antenna, you can get it, or other stations even. But in Good News Bay, it's kind of nestled into a mountain valley in the bay there, and they got no one in the village had any reception of any radio. So they've been working with us for years to try and get a low power FM station there. So that was a long tangent on Good News Bay, but the other villages are Quinnahawk and Chifornik and Kong-Giganook, like I mentioned. So eight villages in total.
So how did you get the word out to the villages, to the people in the villages, about their new access to the radio? Did you put up flyers?
We called around. So far, we just finished up the project, and, you know, they're small villages, so I think word of mouth travels pretty quickly. So in the villages, we haven't really done anything to announce it. We're just leaving that to our partners to make sure that people know about it. And we're pretty confident that it will catch on as time goes by.
And then what are the reports? Have you gotten any feedback?
Yeah, we have. So the site, the lower Kuskokwim sites are working quite well. And so, yeah, the reports are people are really grateful, especially to be able to listen to Yupik on air is one of the main comments we hear. And then also people are very grateful to hear the latest on the pandemic and our community because, I mean, it's easy for us who have been listening to KYUK or have access to other media sources to take that for granted. But just imagine for a moment if you, you know, were low income or just didn't have the what it took to get internet every single month. Maybe you have a big family and you don't use as much internet as you'd like to, and there's no over-the-air signal. You know, how exactly are you going to learn what's going on in the world? And so, yeah, there's a lot of gratitude being expressed. And in a couple locations, we're happy to say, like Kongiganuk, they're able to reach Quigilingok from there. So that's an area where people have been able to listen if they had a really good antenna. So we do have listeners there. They'll call into our call-in shows. But now it's much more accessible. Anyone with, like, a crappy little $10 transistor radio and a couple of batteries now has access to all the information in the world.
So will these villages be able to do their own programming at some time if they desire?
Yeah, actually they can. These what we installed in all these stations is the ability to stream KYUK continuously, but they can also break in. We've provided them with a little mini board, microphone set up, and so they can provide their own announcements about COVID-19, which was the main purpose of the funding we got. But, of course, they're not limited to that. For example, in Imanuk and also in Alakanuk, we've set up in their gymnasium booth. So it very much looks like they plan to broadcast local basketball games when they're happening. And, you know, imagination's the only limit. We know Tuksuk Bay's been doing this for a while. So their teachers and principals use this to stay connected to the schools. They're actually doing schooling through their radio station. When they're not listening to KYUK, they're listening to Tuksuk Bay School FM. It's pretty cool.
So is this all happening free of charge? I mean, I know, for example, we and some other NPR, excuse me, other NPR affiliate stations pay for certain NPR programming to mm-hmm. run on our station. Mm-hmm. Is that something that the villages are paying for as well, or
this first year, thanks to the generosity, well, all this funding for this project came through the CARES Act, which many people are familiar with, which was a federal program aimed to minimize, mitigate, and help people protect themselves against the pandemic. So that's where the money's coming from for now. But eventually, the costs that will fall upon the site, each individual site, are the cost of internet, because that's how they're actually getting KYUK, is through the internet, and then they broadcast it out to the village. And then also the cost of the electricity, like the site electricity, which it's not much. Most of the organizations that we talked to didn't bat an eye at that ongoing cost. But the rest we pick up, the insurance, all the programming cost, that all stays with KYUK and isn't really expected to affect our bottom line.
So I know that you were running around, flying out a little bit like a madman. No offense. to all the villages.
I'd say a lot like a madman. We were under a pretty tight deadline.
We've seen Shane around in the station, moving boxes around, getting piles together. Frantic, but very organized,
Thank you.
Can you explain to me a little bit of the process of actually taking these kits that you assembled out to the villages on a plane? How do you set everything up? Who meets you there? Just talk me through a day in the life of setting up one of these transmitters.
Cool. Well, like I said, we're in a big deadline. We had to spend it, had to spend our money out by the end of the year. And so when we found a project engineer to work with us, a great engineer, he was very skeptical that we could get it done given our timeline, which was about 4 months to try to put up 8 stations. I mean, each station has to go through FCC licensing, which is a mild pain, to put it lightly. On top of just, you know, finding a partner who wants to let us put holes in their walls and dedicate some area to all of this equipment. So a lot of the work was just planning on the phone, finding contacts in each village. We had 10 village sites lined up, and almost half of them didn't actually work out. So scrambling to find other partners who were willing and able. That was part of the problem, too, is like all of these communities were already dealing with the pandemic. And so if there was a lockdown or, say, a death in a village, you know, that could pretty much incapacitate a village's ability to work with us. And so, unfortunately, some villages just couldn't keep up with the timeline. So scrambling, and then even within villages, it's finding new partners because maybe the one that you were working with isn't calling you back now because they're busy with their own things, I presume. So a lot of it was getting that on-the-ground support. But once we had that all set up, then it's a matter of just getting equipment. And, you know, if it wasn't during a pandemic, this would be pretty easy. We could ship things out. We could take our time. We could take the scheduled flights. But because of the timeline and because of the pandemic, what we ended up doing is using a private charter to fly us and our equipment, which worked out really well. And so basically, yeah, we're building antenna structures on top of buildings is the main thing that we're doing. If you look around towns, you'll see people have antenna poles so they can get good radio reception. It's kind of like that, but an antenna is a little bit lighter, and so you don't need the same sort of hardware to go into the installation, whereas a radio transmission antenna is heavier. So that was the main challenge, was how do we build these things on top of other buildings safely in the middle of winter? We're crawling up on, you know, roofs with snow or on top or ice. So those are the main considerations. And then after that, you know, I'm not a super technical person myself, and it was really cool for me to experience actually putting together a radio station. It's the first time I've done it. KYUK is pretty complicated, our setup, because we're doing so much. But these are really simple, bare-bones operations. So, yeah, it's, you know, plugging them in about 7-8 pieces of equipment together, make sure they're plugged in right, and, you know, hopefully your internet works out. Which wasn't up to us, and some sites isn't working out very well yet. But, yeah, just basically a bunch of cables plugged into a bunch of equipment, give it a quick test. And, in fact, the sites where we couldn't get the internet to work and, therefore, they're not listening to KYUK right now at the moment, we showed the maintenance man how to hook up his phone, and so there's probably like DJ maintenance men right now in some of the villages playing songs over their phones, and they can break in and make announcements anytime they want.
That's amazing. If any of you DJ maintenance men are listening, please email news at KYUK. I would love to talk to you about what kind of music you're playing out there.
Both of the maintenance men we spoke with chose modern country songs for the first songs that they were able to pull up.
And Shane, are there plans? I mean, I know that the CARES Act funding has run out, but if, you know, we're able to get a grant, another grant at some point in the future, are there plans to set up more of these radio stations?
No, it's definitely a possibility. This was, for many of us on staff, our first attempt at this. So we've learned a lot. And whereas before we were kind of just running into this blind, now we actually know what we're doing, and we know what equipment we need, and we know, you know, we've done this 8 times in 4 months, so we're kind of experienced at it. So there's no significant plans, but you know, if a village, a community were to come to us and tell us they wanted us, in their village and they want their own radio station as part of it, we'd definitely be open to that. I think the major hurdle would be getting the funding in place for that. If they came with funding, we definitely support them. We could help with the FCC licensing, all of that stuff. We could do a lot if they came with the funds. But yeah, we don't have any plans at the moment to go seek funds for this. This was pretty exhaustive, and we're going to focus our energy on some other items right now. But yeah, like there's a couple of villages that I'll circle back to, like, you know, I said that they couldn't keep up, and we'll just let them know the door's open. If they find $15,000, $10,000, you know, we went into this thinking that each project would cost roughly $30,000 to $40,000 to create, which because of the tight timeline, it did end up costing that. But if we weren't on a tight timeline, we could spend it, you know, we could prioritize cost over time, and it wouldn't cost more than probably $10,000 or $15,000.
Well, just one final question. Do you have an estimate as to how many listeners there were before this project and how many there are now?
Yeah, you know, we kind of estimate that because you can say a village has KYUK, but it might be the case where only people with great antennas have it or not. So I pared it down to, you know, communities that can easily listen to KYUK with a normal transistor. And before this operation, we were at about 24, and now we're at 32. And so that's a lot of villages. You know, when we say there's 56 villages in the YK Delta, yes, that's true, but some of those are not actually inhabited year-round, or in some cases ever. So this is, you know, we've got some more villages to go, but our portion of the YK Delta that can tune in free of cost is risen proportionally.
Sounds like we're well on our way. Well, thank you so much, Shane, for coming in. We just heard from Shane Iverson on the low-power FM transmitters. I'm your host, Olivia Eberts. Thanks so much, Shane, and thanks for tuning in, listeners.
Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.